to it.
Dan Shulman awaits, but if I gave you only two choices, Clippers or Raptors for Kawhi Leonard?
Oh, the Clippers.
Yeah.
I mean, right. I'm trying to be a realist. It's going to be a fun year. Enjoy it for what it is.
Dan Shulman, good morning.
It's going to be a fun year. Enjoy it for what it is.
All right, Dan, I give you...
Print that on the tickets.
I give you
for every Toronto sports team, and maybe it'll work.
You have only two options at the play-by-play job. I give you Clippers or Raptors. No, it's not fair. You're in Toronto. It's not a fair question to ask you. I know. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you guys?
We're terrific. We wish there was a ball game tonight or last night, but there's not. So here we go. The Yankees are gone. And, you know, in measuring up against the Red Sox, it was thought that the advantage they had was the bullpen. It would carry them through and they would hit the home runs. But the offense that they have didn't get them to the bullpen. Is this fixable?
Yeah, I think so. And I think we'll see some changes. I mean, they hit only four home runs in four games, which isn't terrible for most teams, but it's not great for them because their offense is really built upon home runs. And you know, you lose a game 16-1 in game three, and then game four is 4-1 until Kimbrel hands them a couple of runs. Like, to me, the most stunning part of the series was that they didn't hit in their own ballpark because they crush in their own ballpark. But I think you got to give the Red Sox a lot of credit. Rick Porcello was really good in game four. Nathan Eovaldi was phenomenal in game three. And then the Boston bullpen did the job, you know, and then Chris Sale coming out and throwing an inning was really cool in game four. So, yeah, anything with the Yankees is fixable because they've got talent and they've got money. And those are two really good things to have.
It's an odd one for Aaron Boone. I know you know him well, and he was taking it yesterday. Some of it's fair and some of it's not. That's usually the case. I didn't think the Severino criticism was terribly fair. That's your guy. That's your pony. Get him out there and you expect good things to happen. But CeCe, two nights ago, Dan, like, you got to prepare for a worst case scenario where like I'm looking for David Robertson. I'm looking for even Jay Happ out there. It's all hands on deck. And when I see Ian Kinsler almost hit a grand slam in the first inning, he just missed it. And at worst case, it's clearing the bases with a double. Then I'm like, okay, we got out of that first inning somehow, some way unscathed. Let's be ready because this may not last terribly long. And I just, God, by the time Kinsler and Nunez came up again, it was too late when he let him face them a second time.
Yeah, and he said after the game, the plan was to try to get CeCe through Bradley. And I was on primetime yesterday, and we talked about it. Mm-hmm. And I'll say to you what I said to them. I have not talked to Aaron since the series began. I think he probably needs a little time and space and all that. It's interesting to me how a lefty will be left in to face a righty in order to get to the lefty, whereas a righty will not be brought in to face a lefty in order to get to the righty, if you know what I mean.
It's all about having
the lefty face the lefty. And the one that the aspect that surprised me more, I guess, was in game three, in that it was Lance Lynn that came in because he's a starter and you're bringing him into a bases loaded, nobody out situation. And it got going fast. It was a base hit and a walk on six pitches against Severino. And that one, it surprised me that Lynn was up and not Chad Green in that situation. And I'm with you a little bit on game four. I thought Robertson might have been in, if not for Kinsler, then for Nunez.
Yeah.
Alex Cora probably would have made a move to Brock Holt or to Rafael Devers. And maybe the reasoning was if they bring in a righty, now they're going to get a string of left-handed batters coming up against that righty. So I don't know. I haven't heard Aaron say anything about that one. But, to say that, and you guys didn't say it, but to say that he didn't understand the urgency of the situation doesn't make any sense. Obviously, he understood the urgency of the situation. Whatever moves were made for reasons that are only known to them right now. And obviously, they didn't work out in a big, big way. But to me, the Yankees lost the series because they didn't hit.
Totally.
Their starting pitching wasn't good.
I was going to ask you another Yankee question, but you know what? Got all offseason to talk about the Yankees. They're gone. They don't exist anymore. We got Red Sox and we got Astros. And the Astros are the defending champions, and the Red Sox are the team that look like the best team in baseball this year. David Price, game two. Now, I would start him. I would keep throwing him out there. But at what point do you lose confidence in a guy that's never won as a postseason starter?
Well, I was 100% wrong. I thought he would be over it and do fine. And maybe it's the fact that it was the Yankees, or maybe there's something to this that he can't, win the big one or pitch well in October. I would not start him in game two, to be honest with you. I think based on what he did and what Eovaldi did, Porcello's obviously a really good pitcher, too. I think I would go Sale in one, Porcello in two, Eovaldi in three, and then I'd see where I'm at. And maybe it's Price. And maybe it's a bullpen game. Maybe it's Eduardo Rodriguez, who was, you know, a pretty good starter for them during the regular season. Why shouldn't it be Eduardo Rodriguez? Although, the, you know, the Astros with all those right-handed bats, you got to worry about them against lefties. But Price is a lefty as well. I think I hold off until game four, and I see where I'm at in the series. I just don't know how you send him back out there again, given that he's going to get booed at home and he's going to get mocked on the road. You know, it's a tough situation right now for them to deal with.
This is like Lou Holtz. He can't think of anywhere else to play.
Here's the thing, though, right? If that's what you do, and you have this guy, and he's not going to opt out of his contract, let's say, and you're going to be a playoff team for a number of years coming, is this what you're going to do going forward? He's going to be a good regular season pitcher, and then he's going to be in the bullpen in the playoffs?
It's a good question, and maybe the answer is yes. It's unprecedented, I think, really, for a guy of his stature, contract, some of the numbers he's put up, especially earlier in his career. It's a great question, Elliot. But right now, today, on October the 11th or whatever it is, I think the focus has to be on winning the World Series this year because they've got a team capable of that, although I think the Astros are better than they are. But and that's why I'm saying you don't have to commit to it now. Commit to 1 and 2. Just commit to Sale and Porcello right now. This is what teams are doing right now. I mean, Milwaukee's not committing to anything. You know, the Dodgers started Hyunjin Ryu in game one over Clayton Kershaw, and it worked out okay, and Kershaw says he's fine with it. I think right now it's got to be about doing what's best to help your team win a World Series.
Dan Schulman, our guest. Don't forget, coverage begins Friday night with Game 1 in Miller Park in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Brewers and Dodgers. Do you look at the... So you're doing the whole series, whole NL series?
Yeah, so unless you know something I don't.
No, I do not. I do not.
Greg, tell them we're flying in.
I always count the Larry King, Mary Hart innings, so I never know when one of them would wander up to the booth for a cameo for an inning or two. It's a longer walk for Larry.
Larry comes up to whenever I'm in LA, comes up to the booth. Right. And he comes on ESPN Radio, he's done our pregame show. He's visited with us during the game. You know, huge Dodger fan. As you know, Larry's really interesting. He hangs out in the booth for like long stretches of time sometimes during the game.
And he does a live lawyer commercial, I understand, during the...
Why is the personal injury lawyer under so much attack? Yeah. It's a great question, Elliot. I was going to get to that in just a little bit with Dan. Do you look at the Yankees? I want to come back. Do they just go shopping? Like, I've heard enough people say in the last 2 days, and I don't agree with it necessarily, that Severino, you'd love him if he was your two. But the Red Sox went out and got Chris Sale, made the trade. Everyone's worried about prospects, but no one talks about who they gave up now. No one talks about who Houston gave up for Justin Verlander. They want to play with these big boys the next couple of years. Is there something they can do? There's no starting pitcher tree that you just pick one off.
A pitcher for them.
And they've tried before, right? Randy Johnson, too late in his career. Kevin Brown, too late in his career. They have tried to sort of to paper over the cracks before with older free agent starting pitchers.
I think there's a guy who's out there who's not a big name, but I think would be a really good get for them. Free agent. Patrick Corbin, 29 years old, Arizona, coming off a great year, and doesn't bring the name of, you know, Messina or Johnson or guys like that, but I think he would be a great fit, and I think he's going to be a Yankee next year. I also believe they're going to bring Jay Happ back. I hope they don't look at his one start and label him as a guy who can't handle New York, because we know he's not a guy who can't handle New York, excuse the double negative. So, you know, they've got a decision on Happ, they've got a decision on CeCe, who at this point obviously is a, you know, number four starter type, doesn't get that deep into games. But I think Patrick Corbin is going to be a Yankee next year.
I thought it interesting. I almost felt like CeCe was like paving the way for the end of his career. Everyone thinks that, it seems, about Angel Hernandez umpiring, but man, he came out and said it. And I don't know how other umpires feel, but generally when you attack one of their guys, you are not likely to get calls in the future. What's up here with CeCe Sabathia, like, saying this guy's awful and everybody thinks so, and you can go to the other clubhouse and they'll tell you too?
Right, which they didn't. Porcello actually said he was pretty good.
Porcello
was in a good mood. You know, they had just won the series. Yeah. I don't know what you guys thought. I didn't think there was a lot of controversy about Angel Hernandez's strike zone in game four. That's just me. But overall, I think what CeCe says is largely, it can largely be backed up by a lot of players, that they do not hold Angel Hernandez in very high esteem, to put it lightly. But CeCe's a very emotional guy. Remember the last game of the regular season when he hit whoever he hit for Tampa Bay in response to Austin Romine getting hit, and then he said stuff you shouldn't say to Kevin Cash as he walked off the field. Like, CeCe does not keep his emotions inside. He's been around too long to, you know, he's too old of a guy to care about that. He's going to say what's on his mind. He has said he wants to pitch one more year, but it depends on how he feels and what the offers are. And again, if the Yankees don't want him back, I wonder if he wants to, you know, go somewhere else for one more year and be a number four starter. I don't know if he wants to uproot his family and do that sort of thing. So I like the guy a lot. I've had a chance to deal with him on a number of occasions, and I think he's great. And I think he was speaking from a place of frustration and emotion when he said it. I think there's a chance he's back, but I wonder if the Yankees bring him back again.
It's weird to say, lastly, Andrew McCutchen's postseason for the Yanks reminded me of Curtis Granderson's for the Dodgers last year. Like, you're like, oh, God, and then benching him in the last game. He's a pending free agent. He's 32. No one saw, I love this player a lot, but no one would have seen such a precipitous decline from where he was maybe the best center fielder in the sport 3 or 4 years ago.
It's amazing, and how many players we are seeing at age 32, 33 be like a shell of their former selves. And this is why teams are not signing 32-year-olds to 5-year deals anymore, because they've got the guys who can, you know, crunch the numbers. And analytics is not just do we put the shift on. Analytics is historically what are 32-year-olds like? What are 34-year-olds like? And then you're right. Andrew McCutchen not only was one of the great players in the game, he was athletic and graceful, and he looked like a guy who could play well into his mid to late 30s and still be a productive player. And I think he can still be a decent player, but I'm not sure I don't think he's a New York Yankee next year. So I think they went out and they wanted, you know, Judge was hurt when they got him. I don't think they him unless Judge was hurt. I think he was insurance, basically, for them. But, you know, not to jump topics around here, but he's exactly the same age as Josh Donaldson is, and it's going to be, as we all know, there's going to be a lot of great stuff this winter. Who do the Blue Jays hire as manager? Where do Machado and Harper sign? Does Kershaw opt out of his contract? But the Donaldson situation is going to be one, obviously, that will be of immense interest to Blue Jays fans. And does he get a 1-year deal? Does he get a 2-year deal? Is it incentive laden? You know, who knows where he winds up? But you know, you can look at him and say maybe it was injuries. Maybe that great player still lies in there. But that might take a bit of a leap of faith on the part of a front office in order to make that assertion about him.
Dan Shulman preparing to do his usual terrific job in the championship series and doing his usual terrific job with us. Thank you.
Have fun in Milwaukee.
Okay, thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.